Their beard.
Yeah.
And we are live.
And we are live.
Yay.
For episode. I love the enthusiasm. Welcome. Oh boy, excuse me. Welcome everybody to Live at the Hive. That was an interesting intro there. Live at the Hive, episode 171. I am your host, Dan Adelko.
Matt Stefanich.
And Ivan Ivanovich.
Yeah, buddy. Welcome back, Ivan. It's great to have you on again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's nice to be back.
Yeah, for sure. Get geared up for the nice weather. We've had a couple of rounds of really nice weather over the past couple of days. So
we were at like 16 degrees. That's nice to see.
Yeah, that's a tease.
That's what they call fool's spring, though.
Yeah, that is true.
Every April now, I've got a memory that comes up from every other year, and it's a snowstorm in April, and everyone's crying about it.
It's good though, especially with the COVID. Get out of the house.
Yeah,
it's almost time.
Absolutely, absolutely. I have got to try to get in to get a haircut if I can help it.
No,
it's probably my biggest problem right now.
I know some of my friends are hairdressers and they're booked out for, I think, like 4 weeks. It's like, holy jeez, everyone's wanting to get cleaned up for the summer.
It's crazy. Yep. It's crazy. So on today's episode of Live at the Hive, Digital Marketing from the Trenches, we are going to be talking about some tools that you can use. What is the actual title here? Copywriting tools and techniques to help you efficiently create killer contents.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got some, so Ivan on our content team leads up quite a few content projects. So the idea was synthesized from some of the tools that we're using, how to become efficient, and how to put structure to your content marketing strategy, and some really cool tools. My favorite new tool that we're going to get to is called conversion.ai and Jarvis. I love the name for obvious reasons. but I think coming out of this, it's our goal to give you some structure, some ideas, some tools, so you can go back and really create efficiencies and improve the quality. You know, writing's a struggle, right, Ivan?
It can be.
Yeah.
It really can be for sure. But yeah.
Especially when you know, we've got deadlines to meet and we have to write the quality content and create quality content. Hello, everybody.
And trying to juggle all of the different clients, too. So you have to switch on and off from writing.
Different tones
all the time.
Different tones. Hello, Jessica Cook. Thanks for joining us on
Facebook. Everyone's rolling in. Hey, guys.
All right. Are we just going to dive right in here? Is that what we're doing?
I think we have a couple of What's New articles this week that we'll quickly go over. And then we can kind of dive in. The first one, though, I think the Bees wanted to feature a local TikTok celebrity. Her name is Nicole McNall. And she's a 92-year-old Kitchener senior who's a TikTok star in our area. So, Yvonne, I think you guys put this one in. So let's talk about just kind of the content that she does on her TikTok.
Actually, I did not put it in, so I haven't had a chance to actually view her TikTok, so I haven't seen what she...
Yeah, no, that's okay. Does. Basically, what she does is she goes on and she talks about kind of past experiences that she's had, and just kind of discussing, you know, what the best time of her life is. She talks about, you know, getting older and things like this. People want to hear, especially during COVID-19, right? Everyone's kind of disconnected, and it's kind of a unique way to start connecting with people. And I think it's a really good example of how something so local can kind of spread and blow up. Wow. So magnificently, which is kind of nice.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you know what? And I think this debunks some of the stereotypes that platforms like TikTok tend to have. You know, it's only for kids, teenage girls dancing. It's actually really not. There's lots of different TikToks, just like there are lots of different Twitters. You know, but the interesting thing about this is that it's kind of a sweet way to memorialize her life and kind of reach a wide audience talking about, you know, I mean, if you're 92, you've lived a completely different, you've lived through some very different times
than
any of us.
Yeah, absolutely. And they're all put through the Highland Place retirement residence. So they're doing this with multiple residences that they have, and it's a nice content strategy as well, right? Just kind of featuring the different people, different customers, different residents of your business, right? So
great content strategy for senior and assisted living homes for sure. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. This is an article from Marketing Dive that the Beast put in. It's influencer impact increasingly tied to diversity. So people are starting to diversify the way that they use influencers and maybe stepping outside of their comfort zone when it comes to selecting smaller influencers that are a little bit more micro throughout the community, right? And we know that influencer marketing works. The article begins with talking about 51% of customers saying that they bought a product or service based off of an influencer. Mm-hmm. So it's interesting to see how we're starting to, a lot of marketers are starting to narrow down these micro influencers and really starting to create a more intimate relationship with their customers.
Yeah, I think, the rise of influencer marketing and, how it's maturing is incredibly powerful, because those micro, you don't have to be, a multi, millions.
Kylie Jenner.
Millions. Yeah, you don't have to be a Kylie Jenner to be able to have an influence on a specific community. And the fact that brands are recognizing this now and creating real partnerships with influencers is great to see, because, what we see with influencer marketing is that the ones that really do have an engaging audience can really move the needle. They do actually influence the purchasing decisions and the activity and engagement that their audiences will have.
Yeah. The cooperation with each other will help you, both the influencer and the business, grow together, right? So it's
for sure.
Yep. Yep. April's got a great comment here on our previous article. It's amazing that a small retirement home gains so much traction by featuring stories from its residents. TikTok is a powerful platform. Don't count it out of your strategy. Absolutely. Right. I mean, who would have, I think it's actually a brilliant content strategy, and it's very simple. And it's also, it's a way for those seniors to also stay and remain connected.
Absolutely.
Very true.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Next one we're going to talk about. Now, this is a deep dive, so I'm just going to headline it. And this is going to probably be a bit of a teaser for an up and coming live in the next few weeks. But people are really starting to reflect on how marketing's really changed within the past year, the different strategies that a lot of larger corporations may not have felt comfortable getting into. Mm-hmm. When you're working more kind of with agencies local, you have a little bit more kind of flexibility on where you want to go, right? Versus like a corporate scale or something. So this article, we'll link it in the chat. Like I said, it's a bit of a deep dive, but it just kind of talks about how things have changed within the past year and strategies.
Yeah. Some interesting things that I think have moved the needle on this one is that, for General Mills, like, the pandemic has put marketing more squarely back in the middle of a company's operations, which is good to see, as opposed to disjointed. And I think some of the other takeaways from here is investments in digital and social. And I think what it's done is it's really increased the prominence and the understanding that these are incredibly powerful platforms, something we've been saying for many, many years. But with everybody on lockdown and flocking to digital, it really made the case very clear.
For sure, yeah. And especially with people who are used to traditional marketing methods, they have a quote in there that said basically everything you knew is gone and out the window, and you kind of have to start from scratch. And if you haven't been involved in digital marketing or kind of digital services over the past couple of years, it would have been a struggle for you, for sure.
Yeah, in a way, this was kind of a good thing, because it kind of kept people on their toes and new ways of thinking, right? So just to elevate your marketing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah,
it definitely spurred a lot of creativity.
Not saying that the COVID was a good thing. I'm saying that there were some good things that came
out. The silver linings. Yeah. Silver linings.
Yes. Absolutely.
Absolutely. All righty. Well, with that, I think that's for what's new this week. So some good stuff to kind of read through on the weekend. With further ado, let's get into our main event of what's working this week. So like Dan said, this week we're going to be talking about, some copywriting tools and techniques that the Bees like to use and Yvonne likes to use when they're creating their content to bring people in, and some of the different methods that they use along with doing that. So just kind of to highlight for everyone, this week we're going to be discussing in depth how to create cornerstone content, what cornerstone content means, and what content's appropriate for your cornerstone content. Some copywriting tools and techniques. So just some of the tools and tools like, I guess you could say, SEMrush. We have Grammarly as well, a couple of cool AI-driven tools for copywriting as well, just to get some ideas. Structuring the content, how to become more effective, social video blocking, which is really important as well, because as you're creating this content, you're going to want to reuse it. And then also writing for various platforms. Each platform should have a specific use as well as appropriate content schedule. So we'll dive into what that means and how to get around that.
Yeah, let's go.
So first off,
yeah, so this is an important part of a strategy, one that is a cornerstone of our strategy. And it really is, I think, one of the, and hopefully you can see that image. Maybe we can post that in the blog post with a high resolution version after the live and podcast. But really what it is so cornerstone content, there's a whole bunch of names for it, right? Everybody's got slightly different names. Some people call it a content pillar. Some people call it cornerstone content. We refer to it often as anchor content. It's all the same kind of thing. And what it is it is the thing. And if you can see on the infographic, it is, they are low frequency, lower frequency. They take longer to develop, but they include things like podcasts, live streams, webinars, case studies, white papers that may be quite a bit more in depth, and you know, things like guides that have quite a bit of content. We're talking, you know, in the thousands of words and chapterized and that kind of thing.
Absolutely. Yeah, you're really working from almost like a bottom up, right? You're really starting with that kind of a larger content strategy. And then as you kind of really begin to solidify that and start to add your content to it, you can start branching out to different forms of content, which makes it a lot easier for you.
Yeah, absolutely. And the idea is you take your cornerstone content, and then what you do is you start to break it out into various types of other content. So you can create an anchor page, which is a dedicated page focused on specific search engine terms. And those can take a variety of shapes. You can also, you know, create blog posts, infographics. Then you can get into short infographic videos. And then that also leads up to your social content, where you're taking that big piece of content, breaking it down into a series of themes, and then posting on those themes. I think, Yvonne, this has helped when we go from blog content into social, et cetera.
For sure, it really does. A lot of people make the mistake of wanting to just start posting everything onto their social. That means they spend a lot of time trying to come up with new ideas when they have the ideas already. And they could have just, and in the amount of time that it takes to create your cornerstone content, you could have had a lot, maybe double the amount of social posts that you are creating right now in like as little time too. So it really does help.
Yeah. There's a few people that I know on Twitter, and they, you know, say things like, you know, write once, distribute forever, and then distribute. I think that's really key to maintaining your sanity and content creation. You know, the content is not easy to create. And so with that strategy in play, now I think we're going to dive into some of the types of, I'm not sure if we're at the tools section yet or not, but.
We're at the types of cornerstone content. So the types that, you know, we've used in the past to kind of generate leads, interactions, traffic to websites. And some of these, Yvonne, do you want to walk just through some of these points on here and maybe talk about maybe one or two of them really quickly?
Yeah. So the kind of things, these ones here are kind of stuff that we would essentially do for our business, you know, branding advice, socializing tools. And then on the right are ways we can take that information and then expand it into, you know, social posts, videos, and blogs. So this is just some examples for us, but depending on your business, it could definitely change.
For sure.
Yeah, for sure. So, and again, cornerstone content is intended to be longer form. It's intended to go in depth, and you can use several tools that we're going to talk about to help determine what those pieces of content should be. Specifically, Answer the Public is awesome at being able to get into the head of your customers and understand what questions they're asking, and then you can develop that content from there.
Absolutely, for sure. And then as you're going through, you're also going to be talking about, you know, the topic clusters, and think of this, you know, as the pillar of your content in the middle. And then that pillar branches out into different ways, different opportunities, maybe even different guides on how to do specific things or actions that relate to that main pillar. Right. So that could be, for example, we have digital marketing, right? We want to spread knowledge and experience about digital marketing. That's our pillar. And then we kind of branch into different types of content marketing, digital marketing. Right.
Yeah. Yep. If one person views maybe a social post that was written, that will lead them back to your blog, which will lead you back to your cornerstone content. So it kind of branches out and brings a lot of more people from different areas back to one center into your page.
Yeah. So just another example in real estate, if the pillar was going to be the GTA, then you would have things like, oh boy, I got to remember my GTA neighborhoods now, like Lawrence Market. Give me some other
ones. You got York, Markham, you can do Belleville. Well, those are like part of the greater GTA, I guess.
Yeah. So, but you would want to do neighborhoods within Liberty Village, for example, and then you could do a feature on Liberty Village. And when you, one of the important things about SEO and content that it's really important to highlight is that internal linking, the way you create internal links on your website, is a huge ranking factor for Google. And there are tons, we've seen tons of examples where sometimes when all that we're, well, not all that we're able to do, but we're limited by what we're able to do in other areas of SEO, internal linking is a really, really powerful technique. So think about your internal links on your website, how they guide people around, and how your information is clustered into these types of topics.
Yeah, absolutely. That's definitely when you're mapping everything out and when you're planning it out, definitely need to keep those aspects in mind. And then once you have these kind of topic clusters and these different types of topics that you want to cover and start publishing content about, that's when we can start getting into the tools that help us develop this content a lot easier, but also create content that's a little bit more effective and has a little bit more punch to it, because these tools add a little bit more, research, as well as some in-depth training and tips that you can utilize.
Yeah, so. And I can jump right on to Backlinko, because I think Brian Dean has done a great job with this. So let me share my screen. Give me a second here. Okay, let's see. There we go. Okay, so here's a great example of cornerstone content and topic clustering. So what Backlinko is, if you're not aware of it, it's also a really good guide for SEO if you're looking to learn for free. So Brian Dean actually has a training course that he sells, but one of the major ways he generates traffic is through these types of cornerstone pieces of content. So this one here is the definitive guide to on-page SEO, and we'll just have a quick look at what they've done here. It's really well done. So what they've done here is they create chapters and within sections on the same page, right? So you're internally linking on one page. So if you look at this, and if I just scroll down real quick,
you can see it's
extensive. It's long, but it's broken down in such a way that, one, it's very highly optimized for search, because of, like, various elements in here. Excellent use of internal links and headers. Excellent use of import of images, and also really great website copy, like web copywriting.
Yeah,
right.
For sure. There's no real walls of text. Everything's kind of broken up. He's going back and forth between, you know, written types of copy and switching it up with images that detail really high level information.
These are excellent, like, so here, scannable text using bulleted lists, right? Simple, you wouldn't write the same way offline as you do online, right? And so these all make for a really well done page, and he's got the rankings to prove that these work out really, really quite well.
Yeah, for sure. And I think to highlight too, when you create these long forms pieces of content, it really gives you an opportunity as you start creating more and more to create this internal linking strategy that then you talked about earlier within the presentation and the importance of using the internal links along mm-hmm. with anchor pages too, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. For cool. sure.
Okay, so yeah, so just some high level points about backlink before we go back. It just provides some tools like in-depth SEO training. It keeps everything up to date, offers an SEO course as well to kind of help you make sure that you're getting your keywords right, making sure everything's ranking popular on Google.
Well, that's also his main, like that's his main product. That's what he's selling yep. his membership yep. into that. Yeah. And they've got several of these and they continually update them every single year as well. So again, if you think about how you would structure your content for your business, this is a really good example to look to and to use for inspiration in your own marketing efforts.
Absolutely, for sure. And then once you kind of have the basics down from that and you kind of read a little bit more in depth about how you're going to create that strategy, you're going to go into tools. Oh, sorry. It's me. I might have to oh, it's you. Yes, that's why. Got to go into tools for writing effective marketing copy.
So Pip is saying, as a marketing newbie, these presentations have been incredibly insightful. Thank you for arranging these Live at the Hive sessions. Smiley, you're welcome. Well, this is one of the things about Live at the Hive that... you know, what, a couple of three years ago now? I mean, mm-hmm. 3 years ago, I believe, when we started mm-hmm. doing this every single Friday, it was really a commitment to stick to the schedule and to continue to do it. And I think, you know, it's been effective at sharing what we've learned and what we see and the changes that are happening. So, yeah.
Absolutely.
You're welcome. We enjoy doing it.
Oh, we do. Yeah, it's definitely a highlight for the week for a lot of us, which is good. So.
And I think the presentations have been very helpful for viewers to follow along and, you know, take a little bit more information from each of the videos.
Yeah, mm-hmm. you guys do a good job each week. It's awesome.
Awesome. Cool. Thank you. All right. So now that we've talked about different strategies that you can use and some tactics to start developing that cornerstone content, now let's talk about some tools that can really, really help you in becoming a more efficient writer and a content creator. The one other thing I want to say too is when it comes to content creation and content marketing, I think it's important to play to your strengths. So if you're really comfortable in front of a camera and you feel that that's good, then lean in on video content, right? If you're comfortable with like audio, then lean in on podcast content. If you're a writing demon, then lean in on the writing side of things, right? It's important that, you know, you play to your own strengths as a content marketer or a business owner or influencer, whatever your role might be in the world of digital marketing.
Yeah, absolutely. And a lot of the tools that we'll talk about today, too, I think you sometimes get mixed up with writing effectively, with creating content effectively. A lot of these tools and websites that we're going to show you can actually branch them off into different forms of content marketing. So it doesn't necessarily have to be writing, but it's a good way to structure your content and mm-hmm. to just get a little bit more in-depth info.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Yeah. So we've got some tools that we are going to cover today. Conversion.ai, my newest favorite. Grammarly, which is I think it's just useful.
The baseline.
Yep. Answer the Public, which is great for question-based searches, which we use all the time. The Ink SEO Editor, which the free version is actually really helpful for helping you guide your SEO signals and making sure that you're optimizing and just saving you time. Mm-hmm. And then SEMrush, which is a whole bunch of stuff wrapped up in, but there's a lot of content tools that are in there as well that can help you.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
Okay, so conversion.ai. This is my new favorite.
Yeah, you were showing us this before we went live and we were kind of all interested in some of the things that it created.
It's pretty cool. So what they are is, and we're actually going to show you and dive in to the platform itself and give you a peek at what it can do. But conversion.ai is their bot is called Jarvis. It is actually really, really good. And it helps you by taking some base content. So I think Yvonne here, you've done a little example of a blog post outline.
Yep.
Right. Yes. So it can, yep. Did you want to speak to this a little bit?
Yeah, just like a little topic that we usually talk about here at Honeypot. And what it did was just give me a starting point. So if I was going to write a blog or a social post, it kind of helped me go in a general direction and start and get me going.
Yeah. Really helpful. Yeah. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to casually jump out of this. Okay. So if you can see the corner of my screen here, so it does everything from the AIDA framework, PaaS framework, product development, content improver, blog post topic ideas, a creative story. There's actually a I think the CEO and the CMO are very active on Facebook in the Conversion AI group. Mm-hmm. And they actually had Jarvis write an entire story, like three paragraphs long. It's really good.
That's cool.
And this is what the power of AI can do. And, you know, when we talk about every December, what's the big trend? And AI is consistently there as being, you know, an emerging trend. But the reality is that we are surrounded by AI in our everyday mm-hmm. lives right now. So anyhow, yeah, blog post outline, blog post intro paragraph. So I did the content improver here
mm-hmm.
and I took, one of our intros to our Live at the Hive, blog posts, and Jarvis came up with some really great alternatives to that. So it can help you, you know, what if I had a way for you to consume content and listen to experts on the latest in digital marketing? Well, now you can. We have a video that will allow you to get an inside look at what we do, or if you prefer to take it on the go with your podcast of choice from all major platforms. You'll also receive updates when new videos are released and never miss out on any important conversations or events coming up. Like, that's the AI that's generating this.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. And right? You can also do the different tones, right? You can go, I think you have an authoritative tone going on right there, but you can, I think, switch it up to...
Yeah. So let's change it to casual.
Yeah. Let's see what it does.
Go Jarvis. So here's one. Have you seen the video or podcast we published? Check it out. Subscribe to our weekly live stream on Facebook or download a podcast from preferred platform. Stay up to date with what's new in digital marketing and join in on the conversation. And you get a ton of alternatives here, right?
Mm-hmm. And you can mark your favorites too. I think you have a couple there marked that you liked.
Yeah,
so you can always come back to them.
Yeah, sometimes even we get stuck on what to write. So sometimes this is just a great way to get us going, and might as well not waste time. Just right.
Yeah,
absolutely. The ones that I really like for our
this
paid
is what I really like
is, the Google Ads headline. So mm-hmm. Google Ads can be extremely difficult to write. Because of character limitations and making sure they're compelling. Jarvis will do a great job of taking your current ads copy and then giving you some great variations that you can test in the market. And when it comes down and you're spending money on this stuff, this is a great tool to help expand your the quality and the voice of your ad campaigns on Facebook and on Google.
Yeah, for sure. And this is a great way too to just kind of bring everything together. I know a lot of us sometimes we work through these content libraries, right, where we kind of store a bunch of either CTAs, copywriting and things. And this is a great way just to kind of expand that and keep adding to your content library of ad copy or even just like content ideas.
Yeah, 100%. And like I said, like there's a lot here. Amazon product features, Amazon product descriptions, headlines, photo post captions for Insta,
video topic ideas for YouTube at the bottom.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Video script outlines, video titles. So, I mean, you know what? You can earn free credits with conversion.ai. There is a free version. Singly of all of the content creation and assistance platforms, I'm really, really impressed with the quality of this. Mm-hmm. I can see it becoming a regular tool in our arsenal. So you should definitely consider checking that out.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. For sure.
I'll see if I can get one of the founders to come on and talk about Jarvis, because
that'd
pretty,
be cool. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It would be awesome. So yeah, definitely check out conversion.ai, and they have a big announcement coming out, I think, on the 20th or the 30th of this month. So I think it's going to be a big update.
Awesome. I'll have to keep an eye out on that.
All right.
Grammarly.
Good old Grammarly.
Tried and true Grammarly. Yeah.
This is just you know, an essential one that we always use daily that yeah. really does help us just see kind of, even though we may think like sometimes we've written like this greatest copy, there may be a few things that slip through the cracks, and Grammarly is very great for helping us make sure that that one little mistake can really be a huge thing. So it really does help. And just like with conversion, you get to choose whether or not you want to be casual, informative. So there's a lot it can do. It's very helpful.
One of the things that I like from Grammarly is the way is like, say if you're a content marketer, you tend to stick to like transition words that you use a lot, right? When you're creating copy, it's just natural. You keep using these words in your vocabulary.
Amazing.
I like how Grammarly can kind of go through and switch up your transitions words for you. It's like, oh, you know what? I don't use this one often. I'm going to start adding it into my copy regularly, right? It's just something cool that I pick up from when I use it, at least.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, there's nothing worse, whether you're a marketer or in business, than seeing common mistakes, errors, spelling mistakes, especially if it's longer form content. It's part of a QA process that's very important. You know, nobody's perfect, but we can certainly try to use the tools that we have to really get a QA process and quality on everything that we write and everything mm-hmm. that goes out, whether it's to a client or for ourselves.
Yeah, absolutely. And Grammarly, they launch a lot of new features over the past years. Like I know, sorry, I can hear myself right now, kind of, my bad. So it's kind of like they show different types of, you know, tones that you can use, whether you want to sound confident, whether you want to like inform people, mm-hmm. whether you want to sound casual. So there are additional options for you if you want to go past the free that I know some of the bees have used in the past, and it's actually helps out quite a bit. So
yeah, absolutely. This is another one of my newer favorite tools. It's called the Ink SEO Editor. What it does is you can import your copy, or you can write in the editor. It also has a cool WordPress plugin that lets you automatically upload .ink files. But one of the things it'll do is it'll calculate an SEO score for you, again, using AI, and give you a score so you can insert and update and get that score, you know, up to the mid to high 90s. Mm-hmm. It does work. We've tested it out. So, yeah, it's at Ink for All.
It's uh-huh. Yeah, and then what I like is I do like to start from scratch. It's you get to see as you're writing how your score does and if it goes down or up. So like if you realize your score just went down because of what you wrote, then you can change it, and that way as you're going, you'll have a great blog when you're done.
Oh wow.
Yeah. And any content, right? On page content, anything, blog content. Course. Yeah.
Anything.
It also does, I mean, there is a paid version. And again, I think from, you know, SEO for non-SEOs, I think the important thing is that these tools are here to help accelerate your process so that you can get better and you can do it more quickly. So they're really great. They don't necessarily do it for you all the time, but they can certainly lower the amount of time you need to spend on these things and how you keep yourself efficient.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think they're really good for people who just want to kind of dive in and go right ahead. I know a lot of people, you know, they'd rather get hands-on experience with this at first rather than reading in-depth articles and things. And, you know, if you're one of those people who learn through experience like that, a tool like this can really help you learn a lot about SEO, about mm-hmm. keywords and SEO writing for sure.
Yep, absolutely. All righty. And good old SEMrush. I've got to get a hold of my friends at SEMrush. We were having a conversation that kind of fell off the table, but we are going to be featuring SEMrush. I mm-hmm. hate calling it SEMrush, but that's what they say. There was a big Twitter battle about a month ago about, well, how do you actually say it?
Yeah,
I vote for SEMrush because that's what I've always called it.
Yep.
Because I don't say SEM marketing, but mm-hmm. whatever, it's SEM mm-hmm. marketing. Anyhow, that's neither here nor there. SEMrush is a great tool. It's an incredibly robust suite. It does a lot of things. It'll do local SEO, social media monitoring, monitor your domain. There's an SEO writing assistant that Yvonne has highlighted here. There's also, they have SEO ideas for your site. So it'll scan your site if you set it up in a project. And it will give you strategy ideas. It'll give you content ideas. It'll help you with content gap, which is where your competitors may not be, and you can optimize for that. Oh, Yvonne, do you have anything to add on Silverrush?
Yeah, I was just going to say there's even a few options there to select your target audience, so they can even go into depth there as you're writing, just to check on all of your content as you're going along. So there's a lot of really handy tools just to really help you out and started.
Yeah, and I don't think, to be honest, I don't think we could cover Semrush in like the platform in one live. Like that's how in depth it gets. So, so let's see here. Just see if I can pull something up.
Yeah, I know like when we're starting to write copy and gathering ideas, going to Semrush is one of the first things that we do is we go in, type in our keywords, make sure that what we want to write about is what we should be writing about, right? Because I think sometimes there's a difference of what you want to write about, but maybe there's a place where it's a little bit easier to rank for, maybe there's a place where there's a little bit less competition, or just people writing about it like less, right?
Yep. Absolutely, Suresh. So here, since we talked about Backlinko before, you can see.
Yeah, wow.
He does not need to use paid search traffic because he's got 700,000 organic search visits a month.
Yep.
Which is amazing. Mm-hmm. But you can see that from Semrush, you get all sorts of great information. And again, on the content marketing side, you can see the brand monitoring, post tracking, a content audit, topic research as well, under competitive research, all of the things. So highly recommended. It's worth the investment if you can afford it. And you know, like I said, there's so many tools in here that you can use that I think that the somewhat high-ish cost of it, depending on what tier you're at, really does make it worth it. Like you can perform quick site audits on page SEO checker. Mm-hmm. These are all great things for optimizing your site and for content creation overall.
Yeah, I mean, once you get into using Semrush, it's going to always pretty much be in your tabs as you go along and you're making content, right? So it's just one of those things that you add into your daily workflow. And as a marketer, it's one of the go-to tools that you want to keep advantage of.
100%.
Stacey has a really good comment in here that we'll feature. Stacey says that Semrush is a great tool to help you understand what people are searching for so you can build content that makes sense for your audience and supports their search. Yeah, absolutely. I think that sometimes, you know, when an expert is talking about something, we can sometimes go a little bit, you know, too in depth. And I feel like at times you can lose your audience, especially if your audience is someone who's maybe just getting introduced to something, right? So tools like this really help you kind of maintain that writing style. Absolutely.
Absolutely. Okay. Oops. I'm on the wrong focus there.
Yeah.
All right.
And to the public, before you kind of start writing your content, do you kind of want to know, like, what are people even going to be searching for or looking for or coming to you for? Because you could write the best content that you have, but if nobody really cares about what you're writing, is it going to make a difference in the end? And that's kind of what Into the Public does by providing you the 5 W's and the how about all the topic, like the certain topics and what people are actually looking for. So if you actually build the best content you can.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We do sometimes have this conversation with clients on projects. And for search, it's really important to understand that we don't dictate what people search for. So we can't make up terms and hope for searches based on searches that we think may be correct. So what we have to do is using Answer the Public and it will do the, it's super cool. Like, it looks great. It looks impressive. We always get, whenever we demo it with a client, showing them their searches and questions around it, we get an ooh and an ah. How practical this actually is debatable, because you're kind of like twisting your head.
It's a lot better on the website, I will say.
They do have, you can actually just go and grab all the questions. Yeah. And if you have the premium version, you can create persistent lists that update. So you'll see updated searches. But the powerful thing about this in terms of content creation, and it's really important, is that you want to get inside. And I kind of beat the drum about this a lot, having been in the SEO space for longer than I'd like to admit, pushing 20 years, is it's a psychological activity. It's really psychological profiling. If you understand what the pain points and what questions people are searching for and what comparisons they're making, you can optimize your content for that. Then you're writing for your audience as opposed to writing, one of the, when people say, oh, I just want SEO copy. So that's not a thing. You want human being copy. Right. Yeah. Because the human being is using the search engine. So I think it's important to remember that. I think because people think that they're writing for Google, they're not. Google is the conduit that gets to the end user.
Yeah. So you keep talking about the previous lives, the psychology of search, right? And how people go through the search. Like maybe, you know, someone's searching one term and it relates directly to another, you know? So sometimes you would think that you need to create two separate pieces of content to make sure that you're ranking for that search, when in reality you can do it in one piece of content if you understand what you're writing for and what these people are searching for.
Yeah, absolutely. And writing compelling copy and answering people's questions and making your content high quality and useful to your audience is a way to create a level of kind of inbound flow and a way, you know, if your website becomes a resource for people and your social media footprints become a resource for people to come back to, audience large or small, you are going to be providing your potential customers with value. And when they get value, they'll want to do business with you.
For sure. Absolutely. Yeah. Okay. And I think with a lot of the tools that we actually featured today, it's an underlying sense of, you know, inspiration for content that you go through, right? And this is how you make your content become effective and structure properly.
Yes. So content structure, and you saw how we reviewed Backlinko. It's an excellent example of structure. You know, there's always a table of contents. It's easy to digest. Use bulleted lists and numbered lists over walls of text and paragraph. Use all of the featured snippets and rich results. And break your content into sections, right?
You really kind of think about user friendly is a really big thing, because if there's a blob of text, how many people are going to want that? It's hard to read, right? And that's really what it comes down to.
Yeah, and think about small screen devices, right?
Yeah. I like to think about too is like when I'm writing content like that, think of it almost like a recipe card. You want it short and sweet, and you want it people to read it easily and come back to, right? It's just a wall of text. People are going to get lost, and they're not going to want to come back and start where they left off, right? Especially if it's an in-depth article, like some of the things that we featured this week. Definitely a really good idea to keep your articles really short and as well as optimized for online viewing.
Yeah, I guess that's a point too. And we get to the blog post side in that previous infographic about how to create a content machine based on cornerstone content. We've got fairly brief and short our thanks tips, our how-to series on honeypotmarketing.com. Those are not incredibly long. They're actually pretty short. They have managed to become our most popular and most highly searched content on the site. So not everything needs, I think the thing is it should be as long as it needs to be, right?
Yeah.
Don't create length for the sake of creating length.
Write what you got to say, make sure you're hitting on all the points that you want, the points that your customers want, and then usually just leave it at that.
Mm-hmm. Yep, exactly. Okay, social video. Are we way over time here?
A couple minutes, but we're almost at the near the end here.
Yeah, we got a few. We can.
That's okay.
We can zip through some tips for social video blocking. This one's important. Social video is very different than traditional video, but you know it happens on social networks. It's typically vertical video. It comes up in a feed, so it's going to be punchy. It's going to be fast. You have the first 3 seconds to try to get a hook, right? To get them to stop. So you want to be punchy right out of the gate. So you'll grab that attention, then follow up on that hook, but keep them engaged by using what's called pattern interrupts. And if you see pattern interrupts are if a screen shakes, if an emoji pops up, if a headline changes quickly, right? That's really important because, you know, you're talking 30 to 45 seconds. It's not a whole lot of time to tell a long story. Mm-hmm. Right. And lastly, the important thing is have a call to action at the end. Share this with someone who you think might find this useful, right? Share with a friend. You can have several CTAs, but you definitely want to kind of, and I think one of the easiest CTAs is, you know, share this with someone who might find this useful is a simple ask. It's a direct ask. And it's one that you don't see all that often, but it really is like, why not ask people to share it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Right? And usually if you're targeting business owners, I mean, half the time business owners are friends with other business owners, right? And the odds are that they're friends with someone who could use that information. So it's totally a really great way to spread that content and even network as well.
Yep. All right. The higher level on this, and this, I thought this was a joke when I saw this. I didn't know. 63,206 characters on Facebook.
Wow.
The character limit on a Facebook post. But one of the things I think that's important, you can have longer form content, but just in general on your writing for your social platforms, write for that platform. Like, don't just take that one piece of content and then just post, right? That's, you know, if someone's looking at you, typically, I think it's a good assumption that they're possibly checking multiple social media platforms. Whether it's Facebook and Insta and checking to see if you're on TikTok or whatever it might be. But you want to customize the content for that channel and at least repurpose appropriately for that channel. Yvonne, I don't know if you've got anything else that you wanted to add to that.
Just a few of the points that I mentioned here, like some of the ad symbols don't necessarily work across all platforms. So if you do happen to take it and post on another one, it's going to show up and not actually tag anybody, yep. Which can look bad, and it looks like you're just not really trying, which is not what you want to come across as, right? You want to really be engaging with them.
Yeah, for sure. I think there's definitely recycling content can be appropriate, but I don't think you know, if you're writing something on Facebook and you're posting the exact same thing on Instagram with the exact same copy, it's not going to work. Take the time to maybe go in there and add in something different on the copy, switch something up, add some different hashtags. Mm-hmm. Because I mean, they're made for each platform, right?
Well, and this is the other thing too with hashtags is different trends occur differently on different platforms. Mm-hmm. Instagram and TikTok are very heavily, I think even more so than Twitter, but Twitter's also hashtag driven. But those same hashtags may not apply on each one of those platforms.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right? Absolutely. And I think, you know, I think Twitter's a really good point. And the platforms tend to evolve as well, right? Twitter was really hashtag driven in the very early days. But nowadays, you know, there's hashtags, but I think keywords now are starting to rank as well, where people are finding these topic threads. So just something to keep in mind as you're creating this contest, make sure that you're up to date on the latest changes and trends on each of the platforms.
Yeah, absolutely. And
Go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to mention with Instagram, it was a good thing to show with, because it's so visually focused a platform. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. When people are scrolling by, you've only got the three sentences at the beginning, not even a sentence to capture those people. So if you have a CTA, even if it's long text, it's kind of good to always put at the beginning, because if that's the only thing they see, mm-hmm. then they're going to probably perform that action.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Absolutely. Some LinkedIn tips as well. And with LinkedIn, we've talked about this before, but LinkedIn is what you make it. And all of these, you train an algorithm, right?
Yeah.
And from your use, you're training the algorithm. So keep that in mind as well.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So let's just wrap it up since we are at 5:09 on a Friday.
So Yvonne, do you just want to kind of go through the conclusion slide, just kind of wrap it up?
For sure. So when it comes to copywriting, the base is you want to have your cornerstone content, but you really want to know exactly what you're writing for and what are people actually looking for, because you could have great content like we mentioned before, but if it doesn't resonate with your audience, then what's going to come of it, right? So you really want to narrow down first on how that is, and then you can focus on, well, now how am I going to deliver this to my audience? Yeah. Right.
Exactly. So think about the platform, think about the audience, understand your persona, do the research to find out what they're searching for, structure your content properly, and use these tools. These tools are here to make you more efficient. A lot of them do have free versions if you're budget limited. If you do have a budget, consider investing in them. They're well worth it. And yeah, hopefully this has been helpful for all of you content marketers and content creators, which we all are. In 2021, everybody in marketing and business is a content creator and a media company unto themselves.
Yep.
So yeah, so get out there, create that content. And for now, thanks everybody for joining us for episode 171 of Live at the Hive, Digital Marketing from the Trenches. Have a great weekend, and we'll see you next week. Same bat time, same bat channel.
See you later, guys. Bye.